Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When our thoughts and deeds are virtues, we align ourselves with the gods and we experience their presence. Conversely, when our actions stray from the path of divine love and purity, we lose touch with the gods' essence. Now, the gods don't turn against us. Rather, we hinder ourselves from receiving their love and light, becoming our own adversaries in the process. Consequently, the perceived favors or punishments bestowed by the gods are manifestations of our own alignment or lack thereof with our true essence. So prayers and offerings, they serve as symbolic gestures aimed at reconnecting with the gods through self-forgiveness or deepening our alignment with them. That's what these are. That's why we pray. And therefore, it's not the gods who require prayers and offerings, it's us. The gods derive no benefit from these rituals because they are already inherently pure, absolute, and unchanging in their perception of us.
I'm George Lizos, spiritual teacher, psychic healer, and number one best-selling author. It wasn't long ago that I was stuck in a soul-draining job, held back by fears and limiting beliefs that stopped me from following my purpose and making a positive impact in the world. Fast forward past many hours of inner work and lessons learned, I now write books and teach courses to help you find and follow your purpose too. I created the Lit Up Lightworker podcast to empower you with simple, actionable, step-by-step spiritual tools and practices to overcome what holds you back and light up the world. If you're a spiritual seeker yearning for a more soulful and purposeful life, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. I'm your host, George Lizos, and today I'm continuing with my series about the Greek gods and goddesses. The first two episodes were all about whether the gods and goddesses are real, and the second episode was all about the differences between Greek mythology and Greek religion. Today, we're talking about the Greek gods and their powers, their spheres of influence. But before we get started, if you haven't yet pre-ordered the book or just ordered it, if you're listening to this after the book is out, make sure to go to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details about it. When you get the book, you also get a free workshop with me all about meeting your Greek god and goddess guardians. Yes, you do have a Greek god and goddess guardians, and I'm gonna guide you through a meditation journey to meet them. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate and subscribe, and I would love to hear about your insights on Instagram. Come on, George Lizos on Instagram, and let me know how you enjoyed this episode, what you learned, what you want to learn more, and make sure to share this episode with friends that you know will enjoy it as well. As I mentioned, this is the third episode of a six-part series all about the Greek gods and goddesses. The next episodes will be about the ancient Greek Wheel of the Year. I have another episode coming up about practicing the ancient Greek new moon ritual of Numenia. The sixth one was going to be about gay sex in ancient Greece, but I ended up already publishing that as part of my gay sex and relationship podcast Can't Host, so I'm gonna share the link for that episode in the comments so you can check it out, and I'm gonna figure out what other episode I'm gonna do for the sixth episode of the series. But let's start by talking about the powers of the Greek gods and goddesses. We're gonna start with a short introduction about what the Greek gods and goddesses are. We're gonna talk about the types of gods and their powers. I'm gonna share a little bit about why we pray to the gods. I'm gonna share the differences between masculine and feminine deities. And then I'm going to give you some further guidance as to how to move forward when it comes to learning more about the Greek gods and goddesses' powers. So let's start with a short introduction about the Greek gods and goddesses. So the gods and goddesses of ancient Greece and all pagan traditions are reflections, expressions, and manifestations of the cosmos, of the universe. They represent the universe in distinct forms. They are multiplications of the universe, in other words. Yet, they remain interconnected with the entirety of existence. Unlike most spirit guides, characterized by energies, deities, and archetypes within the universe, the gods and goddesses are embodiments of the universe itself. They're not within the universe, they are the universe. They possess the qualities of the universe. They adhere to laws and functions. They embody universal laws and functions. And they contribute to the overarching purpose of the universe, to creating harmony and order in the cosmos. And the gods and goddesses share certain characteristics. They're all loving in nature and pure. They're unchangeable in their form. They are eternal. They are not confined by a physical body, and they are not confined by physical space. And you can go back to the previous episode, especially the first one, Are the Greek Gods and Goddesses Real?, where I share more information and I analyze each one of these characteristics. Now, when it comes to the types of gods and their powers, as you may know from Greek mythology, there exist numerous gods and goddesses. Actually, there are thousands, if not millions, gods and goddesses. There are as many gods and goddesses as there are universal laws and functions, because that's what the gods are. And according to the Neoplatonic philosopher Salutius, these gods and goddesses can be categorized into two groups. We have cosmic gods and we have hypercosmic gods. Now, the cosmic gods oversee the operations of the cosmos, as the name suggests, while the hypercosmic gods, they are concerned with the realms of mind, soul, and spirit. Therefore, they have to do more with universal concepts. And therefore, our focus lies primarily on establishing connections with the cosmic gods, and specifically the 12 principal gods of Olympus. Now, the prominence of the 12 Olympians is not arbitrary. It really stems from a structured arrangement. Specifically, the cosmic gods are organized into four distinct orders. We have the creators, the animators, the harmonizers, and the maintainers. Each of these tasks is overseen by three Olympian gods, resulting in a total of 12 main gods governing both our world and the cosmos. So just to summarize, there are four types of cosmic gods: creation, animation, harmonization, and maintenance, and there are three gods overseeing each of these tasks in this order. Now let's talk about each one of those functions and the gods pertaining to them. So the creation gods are Zeus, Poseidon, and Hephaestus. The animation gods are Demeter, Hera, and Artemis. The harmonization gods are Apollo, Aphrodite, and Hermes. And the maintenance gods are Hestia, Athena, and Ares. So the essential roles of the Olympian gods are evident in their depictions in art and myths. So let's talk a little bit about that because it's going to help you understand what these functions are all about. For instance, Zeus wields a thunderbolt in myths, which symbolizes the vital energy of creation. And actually, the thunder, Zeus's thunder, was considered and is one of the gods. And there is even an Orphic hymn about Zeus the thunder, and I share that in my book, Secrets of Greek Mysticism. Artemis is also portrayed with a bow and deer, representing the animation of the cosmos, because that's what she does, she animates the cosmos. And Apollo is often depicted tuning a lyre, signifying his role in harmonizing the cosmos, while Athena is armed to maintain and safeguard cosmic order. That's why she's a maintenance goddess. So can you see a little bit how the way the gods were portrayed mythologically align with their functions? Zeus has the creative thunder, and therefore he's a creation god. Artemis has a bow and a deer because that's what animates her, and they're both animating kind of symbols, and therefore she's an animation goddess. Apollo is all about harmony. That's why he plays a lyre, and therefore he's a harmonization god. He harmonizes the universe, while Athena maintains the universe. That's why she's armed to create that maintenance, to protect it. So these four functions represent the gods' powers and spheres of influence concerning the cosmos. And on a personal level, they also serve as the fundamental pillars of manifestation that are integral to how the universe, how the cosmos, and how we create life and enhance human consciousness. So this four-step cycle, creation, animation, harmonization, and maintenance, is the inherent rhythm of the cosmos that guides everything within it, including ourselves. So the gods not only oversee this primordial process of creation, but they embody it entirely, and therefore all manifestations and existence itself are shaped by the 12 gods, the 12 primary functions of the universe. Now, what's really important to mention here is that the reason there are three gods in each function, in each step, is because there are three steps towards fulfilling that function. For example, when it comes to creation, we have Zeus, followed by Poseidon, followed by Hephaestus. Zeus, for example, brings forth the thunder of creation and therefore the raw energy of creation. Poseidon takes that and transforms it and uses it to create stuff and organizes it. And then Hephaestus does the actual practical crafts-making work of bringing that creation to life. So the first god of each function represents the beginning of this function. The second god represents the middle part of this function. And the final third god represents the completion of that function. So with the animation gods, Demeter starts the animation process because she's the goddess of the earth and the productivity of the earth, followed by Hera, who oversees life on Earth after it's been created, followed by Artemis, that really pushes the boundary of what animation is, encourages us to grow. And that, by the way, these functions both take place on a physical perspective here on planet Earth, but also on the journey of our souls. Like, there is a spiritual perspective of each god and a physical perspective of each god. And in the book, I go through both perspectives.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When it comes to harmonization, Apollo is the first stage of harmonization because he is the harmony of the universe. He ensures that all the laws are in harmony with one another. And then Aphrodite comes in, takes that harmony, and really creates more because she embodies the law of form. She's all about forming things and harmonizing and taking that harmony of beings and creating something new out of them. And then Hermes is the final part where he's all about evolving on our spiritual path, taking that harmonization on a spiritual level and finding enlightenment. And then when it comes to maintenance, we have Hestia on the first stage, and she's the hearth. She's the center of all beings. She's the center of our soul, the center of the city, the center of the house, the center of communities. Then Athena comes to maintain that with her armor and her protective qualities. And Ares comes last because Ares, he's combative. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do is fight to protect yourself. If you're being attacked, what are you going to do? Send love and light? No, you're going to fight. And that's where you need Ares' maintenance energy. So do you see how it all makes perfect sense? And this categorization of the gods is not arbitrary. Now, of course, these are the 12 Olympian gods. There are also subsidiary, secondary gods representing minor universal laws, functions, and processes, each operating within the sphere of influence of an Olympian god. For instance, Asclepius, and we're actually celebrating Asclepius in March when I'm recording this episode. He's a healing god, and he falls under Apollo's domain, and therefore he's a harmonizing god. That's why he's a healing god. He's the first doctor. While the three graces are associated with Aphrodite, Dionysus is associated with Zeus, and Pan is associated with Dionysus. So do you see they're all interconnected? There are many secondary and tertiary gods, and they all represent minor functions, but they all fall under the sphere of influence of one of the 12 Olympians. So I hope this helps you get an understanding as to the main powers of the gods. Now, in Secrets of Greek Mysticism, I have one chapter for each god where I go into the essence of the god. I talk about the virtues of the gods. I talk about the symbols of the gods, and I share mantras, meditations, and activations to help you connect and activate the energy of that god and their power within you. I also want you to think about how these four steps of creation, animation, harmonization, and maintenance are also aligned with the manifestation process. So when you manifest your desires, what do? You first come up with a desire, and therefore we have the creation step. Then you put in the work to create that. Therefore, there is the animation step. Step number two, it's all about you doing the work, showing up for it. Then we come into the third step, harmonization, where you fine-tune the details and you also receive guidance from source as to how to bring it to life. And then after you manifest it, you have to maintain it. And therefore it's step number four, which inspires a new idea and therefore a new level of creation. It's fascinating, right? How you can take this four-step formula and you can apply it to your life, to how society works, to how the cosmos works, to how the universe works, and to how the gods work and how the gods help us through this process. Now that we've talked about the power of the gods, the main power of the gods, let's talk a little bit about why we pray to the gods and also the difference between masculine and feminine deities, because both these two topics are aligned with the gods' powers. So why we pray to the gods? A prevalent misunderstanding regarding the ancient Greeks revolves around the belief that they engaged in a transactional relationship with the gods. Even like esteemed scholars, academics who have dedicated their lives to studying ancient Greek culture often misinterpret this aspect. They propagate the notion that the Greeks prayed and made sacrifices in order to appease or seek favor from the gods. This misconception, by the way, it's ridiculous because it stems from a misreading of mythological narratives portraying gods with human-like emotions, instilling fear and exerting control over human affairs. But this perception couldn't be further from the truth. It has to do with how we've depended for so long on mythology that we've come to associate mythology with the gods. And the two, as I mentioned in the previous two episodes, are completely different. The way the gods function in myths have nothing to do with how the gods function in reality. The myths are stories that have allegorical meanings and they are subject to interpretation, and that's how we should perceive them. And therefore, the stories where we have to give something to the gods to get something back are not really true. Of course, there were people who approached the gods in that transactional perspective, but it's the same way that today, in all religions, there are people who relate to the gods or their monotheistic god in a transactional way. It doesn't mean it's true. What is true is that the gods neither require prayers nor offerings, nor do they bestow favor or punishment upon us if we don't give them that. Being inherently pure and immutable, the gods remain unaffected by human actions. They remain unaffected by any sentiment of approval or disapproval, because that would contradict their neutral essence. They are universal laws and functions. They cannot grant favors to people. They just represent the laws, and it's up to us to work with those laws. And therefore, it's irrational to assume that the gods are influenced in any manner by human conduct, which means that appeasement is unnecessary since there are no favors to be gained. By their very nature, the gods love and favor us unconditionally. When our thoughts and deeds are virtues, we align ourselves with the gods and we experience their presence. Conversely, when our actions stray from the path of divine love and purity, we lose touch with the gods' essence. Now, the gods don't turn against us. Rather, we hinder ourselves from receiving their love and light, becoming our own adversaries in the process. Consequently, the perceived favors or punishments bestowed by the gods are manifestations of our own alignment or lack thereof with our true essence. So prayers and offerings, they serve as symbolic gestures aimed at reconnecting with the gods through self-forgiveness or deepening our alignment with them. That's what these are. That's why we pray. And therefore, it's not the gods who require prayers and offerings, it's us. The gods derive no benefit from these rituals, because they are already inherently pure, absolute, and unchanging in their perception of us. Conversely, we do gain significantly from these actions, particularly when undertaken with the intention of living in harmony with the gods' essence and purpose. So we offer and we pray as a way of opening the portal of communication with the gods and seeing the gods' presence within us. And in that way, we receive their gifts, which are truly our gifts towards ourselves. I know it's a mindfuck, but but it makes perfect sense when it clicks in. And that's why the prayers of the ancient Greeks were not meant to be in a form of an asking for something. They are affirmative prayers. We say, thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for giving me love. Thank you for giving me abundance. Now let's talk about the difference between masculine and feminine gods. While we often depict the gods with distinct human genders, they're essentially genderless. The historical portrayal of gods in lifelike human forms aims to foster a sense of closeness between humans and the divine. And this practice is common across many religions and spiritual traditions, including Christianity, for example. Specifically in Orthodox Christianity that I grew up into, where we have icons of different saints, for example. So these representations, they serve as a means to render the intangible tangible and bridge the gap between the sacred and the profane. It's easier for us to relate with something that we can see rather than with an energy in our mind. From a spiritual perspective, since the gods represent universal laws, energies, and functions, they don't really have a physical form. They don't have a name, and they don't have a gender. We assign them forms, names, and genders to aid in our understanding and connection with them. Now, consequently, pagan gods across various traditions exhibit similar attributes. For instance, the Greek goddess Aphrodite resembles the Mesopotamian goddess Ishtar. Apollo shares traits with the Egyptian god Ra, and Zeus bears similarities to the Norse deity Thor. And essentially, each ancient culture interpreted the same universal functions in different ways, attributing distinct forms, names, genders, and characteristics based on their cosmological understanding. And in Greek mythology, the genders assigned to the gods often reflect their dominant energy in relation to their unique universal functions and qualities. And therefore, when you think about the powers of the gods, the gender informs that power and the essence of that power. Is there more divine masculine energy, or is there more divine feminine energy within that power? For example, when it comes to the animation of the universe, we have three female deities. We have Demeter, Hera, and Artemis. Because the divine feminine is all about this movement, this animation, this mixing of energies. It's the womb of creation. When it comes to the creation part of the process, we have three male deities: Zeus, Poseidon, and Hephaestus, because creation, especially the beginning of the process, is all about the divine masculine energy. It's all about like throwing a bunch of life force energy into the equation before it can develop itself into something more. Okay, I think we've talked about a lot. You have a lot to think about. If you have any insights, make sure to come to Instagram at George Lizos and tell me all about it in the DMs. Make sure to get the book Secrets of Greek Mysticism by going to GreekMysticism.com. I share so much more information about the Greek gods and goddesses there and how to practice with them. And be sure to tune in to the next episode where we're going to talk about the ancient Greek Wheel of the Year, the Greek New Moon Ritual, and a surprise episode for the end. Thank you for listening to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before you go, make sure to grab your free workbook to find your life purpose at georgelizos.com/life purpose.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.